Okay, we're up to let's begin with the Taz. Let's review what it says over here in the Ramah. The Ramah, it's on the second page where it says Reish Lamed Beis. Okay, it's the last two words on the top. The Ramah says in parentheses the last two words where it says Reish Lamed Beis. Kol Basar B'Cholav She'enoi Osam Min HaTorah Mutar B'Hana. Okay, the Ramah says that you have a situation where the basar b'chalav is not osur min ha-Torah, it's only osur min the Rabbanon. The Ramah says it's mutar b'hanah. Remember, let's review. We learned yesterday that it says in the Torah three times. Loisivashel gidi b'chalevinoi. The Gemara asks the question, why was it necessary for the Torah to say the same thing three times? And the answer is, one is to teach you you're not allowed to cook, one is to teach you you're not allowed to eat, and the third reference is to teach you that if a person does cook, you're not even allowed to derive benefit. Along comes the Ramah, and he says, this that you're not allowed to derive benefit is only when it's an Isser Basar B'Cholav Min HaTorah. But if you have a situation where it's Basar B'Cholav Min Derabbanan, then you are allowed to derive benefit. And that will be Nafkamina if you want to feed it to your animals, dog food. Let's say you have, example, Basar B'Cholav, you have dog food or cat food or hamster food or you name it, and it's a shayl of Basar B'Cholav, but it's only Basar B'Cholav Min Derabbanan because it's not been necessarily cooked together, or the type of milk and the type of meat is not kosher meat, it's not kosher milk, so it's only osur mid rabbanon to cook these two things together, it's only osur mid rabbanon. So then the halacha is that you are allowed to derive benefit, and that benefit can be you can feed it to your animals, or it can be you can be in a business, you can be owner of a store, you can own a supermarket, you can own a supermarket or have stock in a company where you're going to derive benefit from products that are basar b'chalav mid rabbanon. That's what it says in the Ramah. Now look at the Taz. We look yesterday. The Shem look at the Taz elaborates upon this. She'ein osam min ha-Torah mutar b'hana. V'chein pasku ha-Rambam. Who is the one that is the author of this leniency that basar b'chalav is osam min rabbanon is mutar b'hana? It's the Rambam. In Hilchos Machalos Asuras Perek Tes Halacha Dalet. Ve'amurchai be'avoyde zara simin toftaf chofches. Omnam hamar shal. So the Taz says, not everything that it says in the Chab and the Ramah do we accept Halacha Lemaisa. You should be aware that the Marshal Yam Shel Shlom Perek Shmini Dechulim Tzem Kuf Cholik Al Zeh, he disagrees. V'Dato L'Hachmir L'Eser B'Hano Af Basar B'Cholav D'Rabbanan. He is very machmir. For example, will be an example. Basar Chaya Ve'Oif, a Basar Tamek V'Kamon. Let's say it's meat of a wild animal, not of a behemoth, or let's say it is bird meat. So this he holds only Asam D'Rabbanan. The Marshal holds that it's also B'Hano. This is his chim ulam. The Taz says, what's the bottom line? Ramachlekes Rishonim. The bottom line is to follow what it says in the Ramah, like the Rambam and like the Mordechai. Ulam ladinam nira li do ikar lahaloch kedasam Mordechai, the Rambam, the Ramah. These are the three big ones. The Mordechai, the Rambam, and the Ramah. Lahatir bahano bas b'cholav ha'asr midrabonon udaloi ke rashal, not like the mashal. Okay, so that's what we take out. Now, before we go further, let's take a look over here at some of the notes that we finish up. Gimel, on the bottom there's some interesting hanotes. Mutu b'hano. Now, this is lomdis. A lot of these things, I'm warning you, now no l'maisa, but it's nice lomdis. What's the a lot of yisoidos in the laws of basar b'cholav and general halachas. Mutu b'hano. Ois gimel on the bottom. Ayin pischei tshuva simin sifkat gimel shahivir b'shem shushut nedi b'yehuda simin chafchav demikol mokam ape ilu sheinim elu b'drabonim b'tum b'hano tsarich litnam l'goy kach v'lo yivash le'mitchila. Okay, things which are only osam midrabanan, basar b'cholav that's osam midrabanan, you're not allowed to cook. In other words, he's asking a very interesting question, which is not addressed by the Mechaber and the Ramah. If it's only osur midrabanan, the Ramah, Rama, Mordechai, Paskin, you're allowed to have hana. Okay, but what about cooking? Are you allowed eating? For sure you're not allowed to do. That's a given. Basar b'cholav that's midrabanan, you're not allowed to eat. What about cooking? So he says over here, you're not allowed to cook it either. Tzarch litnam l'goy kach v'lo yivashlein mitchila. D'yim kein yavor al abishol v'yisa v'yosa b'hano min ha-Torah.
If you do cook it, because it doesn't mean ha-Torah.
Why? But it's only us in the Rabbanan, these things. Things that are only us in the Rabbanan. I don't know what this means. The Asa Behana Min HaTorah. Why? It's only a Samadhi Rabbanan. I'm not sure what he means. Let's go further.
A chef in a tray for place has to be very careful.
But it's only a Samadhi Rabbanan. If you have over here two foods, you have meat of a Chaya. Not on a Chaya. He starts off by writing.
I know, which means that the Bishul and the Achila is still Asa Min HaTorah. No?
No, but he's thinking it's Mutter. Look, to be called Malcolm, Af be'elu she'enam ela derabanan, umutarim v'hanah. Okay, that's the second line. Sarich litnam lagai. It's only also midrabanan, and it's mutar v'hanah. Give it to a non-Jew. Kach v'lo yivashlein mitchila. The yim kain yavar ala bishul. The osur v'hanah min atar. But we just said one moment ago.
To have anah from it.
Yeah.
Could he cook it?
No. You definitely not.
That's what he's saying. That
but it's not also in that Torah.
If he would cook it, even though it's another Rabbanan, it becomes back in the rice.
Why? If it only starts off mid Rabbanan.
You have a law from it, but you're not allowed to cook it.
Why?
Because that's like the Israelite.
But it's only also mid Rabbanan. Okay, let's leave this. It's not the main point he wants to make. Let's leave it. I want to go further. The Yoid Hevi, Apishe Chuva, Sivkan Dalam, Shem Shud, Sharafraim, Similam Ches, Linin Chema, here's the Chema, butter. Or cream, shenispashla b'kedera shel basar bas yoma. So this is also in that Torah. Shahayro le'eser lahalig. Now here's the shaila. You have over here a cream, and the cream was cooked in a pot, so it's also in that Torah. There's no question about it. It's also behana, and you have to bury it, as we learned yesterday.
Yeah, but this is actually a k'edera shel basar bas yoma. So there was no
basar. No, it's bas yoma. It's deraisa. It's deraisa. So the difference within one day, so it's poilate, it's time. So l'chayra, it's awesome in that Torah, l'chayra. So now the shayla is, are you allowed to use it for a mitzvah? Because when it comes to a mitzvah, we have the principle, mitzvah is lav lehonois nitnu. So that's the shayla. You're not allowed to light it, bo l'chayra sabayis mitam, sh'asa behana. So if you want to go use basar b'cholav, you have cream. Cream was heated up, which is obviously milchix, heated up in a fleishik pot that was within 24 hours. So there is no question the cream becomes also min haTorah. So now, can I take this cream and use it as fuel for illumination in my home? The answer is definitely not. Lo sevashal gdi b'chalevimo three times. The third time is to teach us that it's also behana. Period. What about using this for Hanukkah candles? The ayin oid b'shut sharafayim sham shadon b'shelim yochel l'shtameish b'chemezu l'halik ner Hanukkah. Why should Hanukkah candles be different than using it for a regular illumination? The hevi b'tshuvasay mechmachloikis harishonim i'amrinim b'mitzvah d'rabbanon. Mitzvah is lav lehanois nitnu. When you use a mitzvah, when you have a mitzvah, it's not considered as if you have derived the benefit. Therefore, this cream is aser behana, and you want to use it for a mitzvah. Mitzvah lavli hanos ninu. Here is the new, the beautiful lumnus. The only time we say mitzvah lavli hanos ninu is only by a mitzvah de'oraisa. But by a mitzvah derabanan, then we don't say the rule lavli hanos ninu. It's called you're deriving benefit, and it is forbidden. Ner Chanukah is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So the result is, you're not allowed to use Isurei Hana to be mekayim a mitzvah d'rabbanan.
What's the difference?
Why? Because it's called you having benefit. The sin that gets the rabbanan told you to do it, it's not something that the only time he's... Okay, I know the exact details. Let's see. So he says, the truth is, this is a machlokes. Haran b'mesecht Rosh Hashanah kasav l'nin mudur hana mishayfer. Here's the example. Now, it's a very interesting example. Next Rosh Hashanah, next Yom Tov is Rosh Hashanah. Once you come to Parsha, once you pass through Shavuos, the next big Yom Tov is Rosh Hashanah. How do you know that? What's the first Parsha you lay after Shavuos? Parshas Noso. How does Noso begin? Noso es Rosh. Lift up your head, lift up to Rosh Hashanah. So the next big Yom Tov is Rosh Hashanah. When you blow shofar, is that called you deriving pleasure from the sound? That's the question. If a person takes a vow, I do not want to derive benefit from a shofar, are you allowed to use this shofar for the mitzvah of tekiah shofar? You can't use it as a trumpet, you can't use it in your choir, because you've made a vow, I'm not going to derive any private benefit. But are you allowed to use it for the mitzvah of tekiah shofar? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and we apply the mitzvah slav lichonis nidnu. The mutl tkoil l'tkiyah shal mitzvah b'shem she mitzvah slav lichonis nidnu. The ein chiluk b'zeh kelen b'zeh bein mitzvah d'oraisa d'rabbanan. Now the Ran says when we apply the principle mitzvah slav lichonis nidnu, it makes no difference d'oraisa d'rabbanan. The Omnam, that's the sheet of the Ran. Omnam the Baal Hamor kosaf the davka b'tkiyah shal shoyfel shu d'oraisa mutl l'tkoyah. Let's say a person makes a net, he's not going to draw benefit from the trumpets. And the trumpets were blown in the Beis HaMikdash in a time, the Yom of Tfilah, Tainis. That is also Mishum, the Midi Derabonon, these Chatzoitzrois were only Midrabonon, it seems. Ein Oimim Mitzis Lavli Honis Nidnu. The Dafka B'derais HaMilin Kain, period. So this Kedai to learn justice alone. Emachlekis, the Ran, the Baal Hamor, Mitzis Lavli Honis. Does that apply only to a deraisa, or does it apply to a deraisa and a derabanan? Lamai nafkemina, basar b'cholav. If you cook a cream in a flesh of dikka pot that's a bas yoimai, the cream becomes also behana min ha-toira. If you want to use this cream as fuel for ner Chanukah, if ner Chanukah is a mitzvah derabanan, do we say the rule that mitzvah is lavli honeis nitnu and it's mutter? That's the machlek, it's the Ran, the Baal Hamar. According to the Ran, it's also. Sir, according to the Baal Hamor, it's mutter. Period. Now, here's another example. It's the Basar B'cholof. Basar B'cholof. What's the Shiloh? Basar B'cholof. So you have a shir. It's also B'hanol. You have a shir. Let's say it's a kazayas. That's not eating. Derech Hanosai. The Hanod to be also is Derech Hanosai. Enough oil to last for half an hour. L'chor is enough to be chayiv on the Isser of Le'savashel Gedi Echad Isser Hanod. V'nei B'sefer Karen Oral Nadorim Daf Tezayin B'era Shemach Loikis Aranjel Bal Hamor Toli Yehim B'tkiya Shofar Yesh Hanod Haguf. He says something more. Is it called you deriving pleasure? When you blow shofar and you hear the sound, do you derive pleasure? So it depends on the person. I don't know, most people, the nechlegu b'zeh, ha'yishar b'sugyisham. So he introduced now a new concept. Even if you apply the principle of mitzvah slav lehonos nitnu, that's only when you're not getting pleasure. When you like Hanukkah candles, you're getting absolutely no physical pleasure because you're getting no physical pleasure. You're not able to use it for any benefit whatsoever. If you have oil. Let's take another example. Let's say basar b'chalav. You have this cream, and this cream that's milk has been cooked in the flesh took a pot, and it becomes basar b'hanah, meaning basar b'chalav. And you want to smear it on your body as an anointment. So now, let us say, for argument's sake, let's say hechatim. So let's make. I don't know what the case would be, but let's make believe for a moment. Smearing the oil on your body would be a mitzvah. Let's say liyitzui, it would be a mitzvah. It wouldn't make a difference. Because this is a type of mitzvah where you are deriving pleasure. When you derive physical pleasure, even if you go to say mitzvah slav lichonei snidnu, that's only a type of mitzvah where there is no physical pleasure. But a mitzvah which involves physical pleasure, you don't apply the rule. Therefore, when you blow a shofar, even though the blowing of a shofar is a mitzvah, but there's a machloikis. If listening to a sound is considered a pleasant experience, which you gain physical pleasure. If you go to a concert, you obviously enjoy the concert. Why would you pay $100 to get a good ticket to go to a concert unless you enjoy the sound? Now, the question is, listening to the sound of the shofar, is that something that you would pay money to do? Is that something which is pleasurable? So it seems over here that's a machloikis. Some hold that listening to the sound of the shofar is considered to be receiving a physical pleasure. It's a wake-up call. It does something for you. It does something for your goof. If that's the case, even though it's indeed really a mitzvah, and mitzvah slav lohonis nidnu, this will be the exception, because here you're deriving hanos hagof. When it comes to Hanukkah, there is absolutely no pleasure involved. It's also b'hanah, you're not allowed to have any pleasure. Evshu shagam bal hamor yoyda shumut. Even the bal hamor will admit that it's mutter. It will be because you're not deriving any pleasure. V'yochein ha'prim v'godim b'shin pei dalet, sifkot beis, heivin kein, mitshuvas shar Ephraim hanal, shemutter lahadlik ner Chanukah b'chema shenesha machmas b'shul basa b'cholof. It's mutter, even according to the Baal HaMor. We thought that according to the Baal HaMor, that if it's an isdem, it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanon, it's going to be osur. Not necessarily. A mitzvah d'rabbanon to which you derive no benefit may indeed be mutter. V'ulu b'pesachei tshuva sifkon dalet hisik al divrei v'godim v'helo d'vadai kavonas ashar fam le'eso lahalik b'ner Chanukah d'yav d'mitzvah slav l'chonis nenu mikol ma'akam yach. A new yisod, a new piece of lomdus. You need to have a minimum shear and something which is also behana michtas kisusei shiur. It's as if it's already been destroyed. Ubasa b'chalav choil, since basa b'chalav b'hana harei kisusei michtas shiura. It's as if the minimum shear does not exist. As we look at it, as if the future has already arrived, where it's been consumed, it's less than the minimum shear. Kolaymar shachos b'shir ayin sham. So we have a new mitzvah, it's a new yisod. Some mitzvah, a mitzvah that requires a shear. If you're using an object that's also behana, then you do not fulfill the mitzvah. Even if you hold mitzvah slav lihonis nidnu for this different reason, something that's also behana is judged, is viewed as if it does no longer exist, and if you don't have the requisite shear to mekayim the mitzvah. Uchde b'tzidu b'shevet shal ir hanidachas t'isa b'gemara lo yitka bo v'imtaka lo yasa the hosins v'emil shevet k'sarf dami. What's the classic example? Ir hanidachas. If you find a shevet ir hanidachas, you want to use that shevet for the mitzvah of tkiyah shevet, you're not yoytze. Why not? The shevet is osur behana. A shofar has a minimum shear. It must be at least one tefach. There's a minimum shear to the size of a shofar. So since the shofar is meant to be burnt, destroyed, because it was part of a ir hanidachas, a siddur worship of Avodah Zarah, so we don't view this object to have the minimum shear of one tefach. So the shofar boy shear, kedis v'gemar sham, kedesh sheyech zenu biyadoi l'kan u'l'kan tefach. You have to be able to hold it in your hand, and it has three tefachim. You have to hold it in your hand, and one tefach on each side. V'chein v'gemar v'yadoi, when we say this principle, michtas kesusei shiura, maybe that din only applies to a shear that's in the object itself, like a shofar. But when the shear is not in the object, the shear is in something that's intangible. Zman, maybe in that situation we do not apply the lumdis of michtas kisusei shiura. The imkain kevin shemid yechla lichatishos shoshapi yotzim zayi dechayva v'ulay yevshul yashem api divri harav shabbos to kol mashos l'shamish l'oru gahumishum humishum shetikuna kimino shol midosh. The imkain yeshem de'ashir b'shemen hu k'mamnor v'halosh shamashir hu b'chef shol shemen. So he wants to say maybe when it comes to the oil of the menorah that is a din of the cheftza, you have to have a set amount of oil. That's a very chiddush. Lo rak shir b'zman halacha. Lom d'shachir chakira. When there's a din of a shir in the menorah, is that a shir in zman, or is that a shir in the kamos of the oil, the amount of oil? And that's a nafkmina. Is it in the chefs of the mitzvah, or is it in the zman? And that'll be a nafkmina in the lomdus of gemichtas kesusei shira, which we only say by a chefs, we don't say by a zman. The nira the blafachi also lahalik ner chanukah be'achema shavulu ba'basim mishum iser bishul. Another lumnus. Another reason why you're not allowed to use the cream or the cream or the butter for Ner Chanukah, because when you're going to light the Ner Chanukah, you're cooking it once again. And we discussed this, if you have the cream, what happened in the situation? The cream was cooked in a pot of meat that was ben yomo. So what do we have in front of us? We have cream that has the flavor of meat. If I put it in the Ner Chanukah, it's going to be rekindled. It's going to be heated up to the degree of Yatzaledes. So you're cooking Basar B'cholov once again. And that goes back to the shadow we had yesterday. Is there a din of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul with regard to Basar B'cholov? So we learned yesterday, no. The rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul only applies to Hilchas Shabbos. Does not apply to Basar B'cholov. Basar B'cholov, you're not allowed to cook the two together, even if it's been cooked in the past. You're not allowed to recook it to cook it a second time. Okay, so what do we take away from this? Just review the points.
That's what he says in the beginning, that
Hanoah is
overpowers the Hanoah.
But that's only when you're dealing with Nisa D'Oraisa.
Yeah, but even though that
it's only with the Rabbanah. Yeah.
Once you put in Bishul,
yeah. But how can there be an Isser Hanah D'Oraisa when the components are only also Midrabanan? I don't know, maybe you're right. I don't know, I'm missing something. But let's review. What do we take out of this? We take out of here a collection of Yisoidos. Number one, Yisoid number one is the Ramah. The Ramah we have over here, the Ramah, the Rambam, and the Mordechai. The Isser Hanah is only when the Basar B'cholov is De'oraisa. If it's the Rabbanan, we paskin l'maskana, the Taz says, that there is no Isser Hanah if the Basar B'cholov is only Asar mid-Rabbanan. And then we go into interesting shilas. What happens if you taka have Isser Basar B'cholov De'oraisa and you want to use it for a Dvar Mitzvah? Case in point, you want to use it for Ner Chanukah. So we get now into the Lumbus. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah. It's also the Hanah, but when you want to use something that's also the Hanah by mitzvah, we apply the principle mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. This would not necessarily apply to Ner Chanukah for multiple reasons. Number one, Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah derabanan, and this is a chakira if we apply the principle of mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu by a mitzvah derabanan. Number two, we need to have a shear of oil. It has to last for a half an hour. And even though it's lovely honest nidnu, we view it al shem soifoy as if it does not exist. That is sort of can be challenged because who says the sheer oil is a din in the cheftza? Maybe it's a din in the zman. If it's a din in the zman, then there's no rule of kisuse nichtas shiura. Okay. Alright, let's leave it with that. Let's go to the next halacha. Halacha base. Halacha beis is gedi. Okay, back in the Mechaber, halacha beis gedi lav dafka. It says in the Torah, lo sevashel gedi b'chalei vimo. A gedi is a behema, a young sheep, a goat, a gedi can be either a kid. It can be either a baby goat or a baby sheep. But the point, the common denominator is a gedi is a behema. It's not a chaya. It's not a deer. So the shaila is, what happens if you have deer meat that is cooked in milk? So, or, I'm sorry, not let me give, let's, I'm sorry, that's another case. I'm sorry, let's take that back. What about an adult animal? What about a shor, an adult animal, not a baby animal? Is there an isser deraisa to cook? So it says here in the Racham Chaber, gedi lav dafka, to who hadin shor. Who adin a sek? Let's say is a goat. Same thing applies to a sheep. The aids is a goat. In other words, adults. V'loishna b'chalev aim. V'loishna b'chalev acheres. B'cholav acheres. Do not cook it in its mother's milk. Let's say the milk is not from its mother. The milk comes from another animal. It doesn't make a difference. Why then do the pasuk say in Gedi, Ela shadiber hakasov b'chayv? The pasuk discussed things that are very common time with Chazal. Okay, now let's. Okay, next. Okay, let's see the shach. The shach ois gimel. The shach ois gimel. Wait, what's the dalid? Okay, I'm sorry. No. There's nothing. Let's see the notes on the bottom. Okay, you just go through the Gemara. So the notes on the bottom is when it says over here is shor. Ois dalid on the bottom. The note. Who had in shor kedisa the Gemara al kol makom shema gedi stam afilu para the rachel b'mashman includes all types of animals. V'chinkas v'rambam koi. What about a koi? We don't even know what that is. Shusafik chaya safik behema uklayim habam behema b'chaya. What about an animal that's a crossbreed? Also, levash lam basa b'chal b'chalay behema. You're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to cook it. Oy b'sar behema b'chal b'chal mishum da havi seka da raisa v'asa b'chana da savik b'behema b'behema. Okay, so anything that is a safek is included in the prohibition. Next, huadin b'chol v'acheres lav dafka b'chalay v'ima huadin other milk. B'kris b'gemara shom dafka v'dal v'droit zolema afilu b'basa seb b'chal apara. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. Any type kosher milk or kosher ram doesn't make a difference. Okay. Now let's go to halacha gimel. Okay, up to the next halacha. Halacha gimel. Ein noig ella bebasar bebesar behema tohira bechale behema tohira. Aval besar tohira be cholof tenea. Oi besar tenea be cholof tohira. The halacha is, in this case, mutarim bibishul uvehana. So the Mechaber says very clearly that if you have non-kosher meat from a non-kosher animal, an animal which does not have the simonim of a kosher animal, of a pig meat that's been, and you have kosher milk, or you have milk from a pig with kosher meat, it's mutar to cook, and it's mutar to derive pleasure. But of course, to eat, anyway, you can't eat because it's not kosher. Eating is not even an issue over here. There's no eating. The reason why, so the Shach is going to say, we're not going to discuss the issue of eating because there's another reason why you're not allowed to eat this mixture, because it includes within it non-kosher milk, non-kosher, non-kosher meat.
What happens if it's a kosher animal?
Then it's also min ha-Torah. Also, it's odilgo in tzing. When it says over here that it's not kosher, it means an animal whose min is not kosher, a pig. It doesn't. It has split hooves, but does not regurgitate. It does not chew its cut. Next, ubesar chaya ve'oif. Okay, now we come to the next category. What about deer, or what's today an exotic meat?
Venison.
Ubesar. What about ve'oif poultry? Afilu b'cholav tehoira mutur b'bishul uvehana. Okay, so poultry is mutter bebishul v'hana with milk. The af be'achila einoy aser ella midrabanan. This is the source. This mechaber is the source of many leniencies, many sekos. Anytime there are different questions in the kitchen, and you're dealing with the shayla, and you're not dealing with meat, you're dealing with poultry, chicken, and there's a shayla basa b'cholav. This is a mitigating factor in the bottom line of psak halacha, because bichlal basa b'cholav chicken is anyway only aser midrabanan, at least according to the mechashit of the mechaber. Aval, dog in the chagav. What about fish? Fish and locusts, those the svardim who eat today certain types of locusts. Ein bohem isra filu midrabanan. You're allowed to cook meikar hadin fish.
You're allowed to eat it.
You're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat fish with milk. You're allowed to cook it together. What does the Rama say? Now the Rama says v'hagavin ohagu la'aso is chol of mishkedim. This is a new halacha. Now we get a lot of things going on over here. First, Rama says it is our custom to eat milk from almonds, like a coffee whiner, right? That's the equivalent of coffee whiner. Umanichim ba besaroif, and you can cook. Poultry chicken in this type of milk. Hoil the einayrak midrabanan, aval besar behema. So since besar behema is also in a Torah with real milk, yesh laniach etzel hecholav shkedim. So when you serve it on the table, you have to put on the table the container. You have to put almonds on the table as a simon to people not to suspect you that you're eating basa b'cholav. Mishum maris ha'ayin. K'mosh despar le'el simim tzim samavav linyin dam. Now the truth is, we didn't even makbet to do this halacha l'mais. We'll see it soon over here. Even when you have chicken, you have on the table, you have coffee. Let's say you have a chicken meal, and then you serve coffee. And the coffee you're giving also, you're giving a coffee whitener. So you're supposed to put coffee whitener on the table, even though the meal only consisted of chicken, more chomer than when it says the must. So we'll see that inside.
It's a little difficult. What's the Russian? He says it.
The realness will only be with the rabbanim, right? To mix it together, no, right? Let's go back to the shach. Let's first do the shach. Back to the previous page, the shach is commenting on the words al basa tohar b'cholav, basa b'sar tohar b'cholav tameya, or b'sar tameya b'cholav tohar is mutter b'bishul v'hana. If the meat is not kosher, or the milk is not kosher, it is mutter to cook these two things together, and it's mutter to have hana. Shach, ois gimel, aval b'sar tohar b'cholav tameya, or vice versa, mutarim b'bishul v'hana, aval b'achila. Why doesn't the Mechaber make mention of eating? That's pasha. Anyway, you can't eat it because the meat or the milk itself is not kosher. There's no need over here to make mention. There's no need over here to make mention of the halach of eating because anyway, you may not eat this because it's not kosher. It's not kosher milk. The bishlaim when it comes to bebasar oif, when it comes to chicken, shayach shapir gzera, there the Mechaber how to make mention that you're not allowed to eat them in the rabbanim because she'im ha yoichlim b'sar oif b'cholov yoichl gamkin b'sar behim b'cholov. So the shachar is telling us the lumbus. What's the reason why halacha l'mayis the rabbanim will makbe that you're not allowed to eat chicken with milk? You're not allowed to cook chicken. It's only asam in the rabbanim. Slippery slope. If today for dinner you're going to cook chicken in milk, tomorrow you're going to cook meat in milk. Avol ma'ayin ligzar shabasa behim b'tohara b'cholov tameya oyibcha. But when it comes to non kosher meat or non kosher milk, there's no reason. There's no need to prohibit. You're not allowed to cook it. There's no prohibition of cooking. There's no prohibition to cook these because anyway, you're not going to come to eat those. Let's take a step back. When it comes to chicken, you're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to cook chicken in milk because if you're going to cook chicken in milk, you're going to come to eat. Chicken, when it comes to meat. But when it comes to non-kosher, these things, these reasons do not apply because when it comes to non-kosher milk, anyway, you're not allowed to eat these things. This is the bottom line that you are allowed. That you are the loyke habach shekasav the osur al kaponim the rabbanim mishum basar b'cholav, not like the bach that says that you're not allowed.
There's another isur.
Another is of cooking non-kosher.
Cooking.
Oh, well,
I just
looked
at two isurim
and
eating.
Oh, yeah, right. Eating. So he learns that there's two.
One is that it's not kosher.
Ain't it's a chalis, sir? It's basachov. So according to the Bach, there's a very big chiddush. If you have non-kosher meat cooked in milk, you violate two averos. I'll call upon him the rabbanim mishum basa b'cholof. The nafkamin, what will be nafkamin? The nafkamin, the inyan chaticha naseis nevela. The yisrili l'machaber, the ein oimim chaticha naseis nevela, ilo basa b'cholof. The holoi motzinim shemokam, shabasa b'heim atari b'cholof, tam yoyib cha yesho yishum isa the rabbanim vishan naseis nevela m'rabbanim. Now what does that mean? These are as follows, similar case. If you have a piece of meat, non-kosher meat, that falls into a pot of kosher meat, and we do not have 60 bittel, it's not bottle. So let's say, for example, you have a piece of non-kosher meat, it falls into a pot of kosher meat, and you do not have 60 times the kosher meat to be mevatel the non-kosher meat. So what is the halacha? The entire pot is treif. If you don't have 60 times to be mevatel the isser, the entire mixture is osser.
No, he's here.
He's here.
Now, the question is, what happens if you take a piece of meat from this pot and you put it in another pot? How much do you need in the second pot to be mevatel the piece of meat? So the answer is, you only need the percentage. If you have only, you figure out what the percentage is. If the percentage of isser in the first pot, and you only need in the second pot 60 times that percentage of tarfus in the first pot. Again, the first pot is a taruvis, is a mixture of kosher and non-kosher. A piece of this of this piece of meat from this pot falls into another pot. The second pot does not need 60 times the amount of food in the second pot to mevatel the piece that fell in that it fell into, because the piece of meat that fell into the second pot is not 100% treif. It's only partially treif. You have to make a calculation. What is the amount, the percentage of non-kosher in the piece of meat that falls into the second pot? And as long as you have 60 times that amount in the second pot, that will be enough to mevatel the iser. But that's only true with regard to a mixture of kosher and non-kosher. But when it comes to basar b'chalav, we trigger a principle called chaticha nasei snevela. Chanan. Okay, the Rosh Teva says chanan, ches nunun. The entire piece becomes 100% a chefza di isura. So when it falls now into a second pot, you're going to need 60 times the amount in the second pot to be mevatel the entire piece. So here we have a very fascinating nafkamina between what it says, between the Mechaber and the Bach. The Mechaber says, we have non-kosher meat that is cooked with milk. Non-kosher meat cooked with milk. So what is the halacha? Anyway, I can't eat it. What difference does it really make? Anyway, I can't eat it because it's non-kosher meat and it's milk. So anyway, it's treif. But now this mixture falls in to another pot. A pot of kosher meat. How much do we need in the second pot to be mevatel the piece that falls in, that fell in? If you learn that we apply the principle of chaticha nases nedeli, even when you have basar b'cholav of non-kosher meat, you're going to need 60 times in the second pot to mevatel the entire mixture that fell into the pot. But if you learn that you do not say chaticha nases nedeli when you're dealing with non-kosher meat that's cooked with milk, and we have a taruvis, we have here a mixture, you only need to have 60 times the percent of non-kosher meat that fell into the second pot. So that is what he explains would be the nafka. Let's read those words inside one more time. The nafka mina, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 lines down from the top. The last word on the line in the shach. The nafka mina l'in chaticha nasei snevela. The svir lela hamechaber, according to the sheet of the mechaber, the ein oimrim chaticha nases nevela ella bebasar becholav. Both are kosher. The meat is kosher. The milk is kosher. The haloi motzina b'shemokam. We don't find anywhere else this concept that when you have a taruvis, the entire thing becomes a new prohibition. Shaloi motzina b'shemokam shebasar beheimah tohira. We don't find anywhere kosher meat. The chala of tamei, non-kosher milk, or the other way around, yesh boy iser derabanan. We don't find that it should be osam midrabanan, meaning it should be, the whole thing should be a din of a chaticha, and the shenases nevela midrabanan. Therefore, when this piece falls into another pot, you only need 60 times the percent of non-kosher for it to become batel. Udiloy kehatur, not like the tour, shekol al din basar behema tneya, he includes the law of non-kosher meat in din basar oif with bird meat. Devadai ma shekosav ein ela midrabanan. Okay, so nobody is being short over here. Loi koy a basar behema ki am basar chayev oif. That's why he changed. So it's a question of how to learn with how the Torah expressed himself and what is his exact language. But basically what he's saying over here is, this is a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Bach, if we say, Chanan by non-kosher meat. Okay, Oystalid. Oystalid says, the Shach says, what about when it comes to chicken? Chicken with meat, with chicken or Besar Chaya? The oif or chaya, ubasar chayo v'oif ve'af be'achila niru de basar chayo v'oif b'cholav osa midrabanu nukar kosar Rambam she'oimer besar oif b'cholav osa minatoro oiver bebal toisef. Anyone that says that chicken cooked in milk is an iser de oiraisa, you're oiver on the another iser de oiraisa of bal toisef. Miu after kaimon besar oif b'cholav hu midrabanan mikol makoim also lechol gvina miyad acharav kimuhul lekamanu simin reish simin peites. You still have to wait 6 hours. Okay, Ashkenazim wait 6 hours. You still must wait. Okay, whatever you wait, 3, 6, 1. You still, even though one would argue, why should I be so machmir to wait the full amount of time after eating chicken, it's only also midrabanan. It doesn't matter. Even though it's only midrabanan, it follows the same exact rules. We had the Tony Agra. Now you'll tell me, but we have a Chazal that says the reward of oif ugvina necholim ba'pikoyren. The Gemara says, if you choose to eat chicken instead of eating meat, you have a benefit. You have reward. You get points. What are your reward points? The reward points are you can eat it in a state of hefkeros. Afikor. Now, what does that mean? Kolaymar derech hefker, which means she'ein nizhadim azeh. So one would be inclined to believe that what it means is if you eat chicken, you don't have to wait 6 hours. You can eat meat right, or you can eat the milk right away. The Shach says that is a mistake. That's not what it means. Hainu ba'oichel gevina v'achakach oif. All it means is when you eat milchiks first, that is the only nafkemina. If you eat milchiks first and then you eat chicken,
then you eat meat.
Hard cheese. That's the chilek. Udoloi kemarshal the rabach sheposka kedas atayisus oif sham the besar chayiv oif b'chol avosam midarosam midaraych. That's going on. In other words, what he's saying is that. What happens if you eat first milchiks? So we all know that if you eat milchiks, you don't have to wait 6 hours to eat fleishiks. The precautions, but even though you're allowed to eat right away, you have to first rinse out your mouth. If you eat milchiks, and now you want to eat fleishiks, you just can't eat right away, you have to rinse out your mouth. Okay, I don't know the details, but he's saying over here is that the precautions that you need to take to eat fleishiks immediately after milchiks are less if the fleishiks that you're going to eat is chicken. If the fleishiks that you're going to eat after milchiks is meat, then you have to take more precautions. But if you're only going to eat chicken, which is only asa midrabanan with milk, it's not as chomer, and the precautions that you need to take are less. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. The next halacha is fish. What about cooking fish in milk? This is another controversial thing. Is there a sakon? There's no question that there is no halakhic issue of cooking fish in milk. However, some say that it is a sakana. There's a sakana to cook fish in milk. So the Shach says there is no such thing.
Well, this dog and shawl of a Cairo, but that's the pleasure.
Only fish with meat. Fish with meat is a sakana, right? We all know that. We all know that you're not allowed to go eat meat with fish together. That's sakana. So the question is, what?
The liquor industry is based on that.
You have to rinse out your mouth. So the question is, what about eating fish with milchiks? Is there a sakana? So he says, no, there's no sakana. Mutar lechol dagim b'chol aveim mishum sakana. B'dafka dagim in basa asa mishum sakana al b'chol avlo. U'maisim b'chol yom, the Shach says, d'nehagim levashel dagim b'chol avlechol. There's nothing to worry about. Exactly. The chain kasav ho achronim v'chein lucha b'gemor b'sachem daf ein vav. The ain shum sakana b'dogim v'cholof. Udloi ke ature zav shakasav. The ain lechol dogim v'cholof. He disagrees with that sakana. He disagrees. He holds that there is a sakana. Das yachid that you should not cook or eat a fish with milchiks. Avla pibugadim b'mishmitzay zav sifkatan gimel lehevi b'shem aknes sagdela uveislach mihuda sheyesh lezor shlo levashol dogim im cholav kiel chumas sakanta neisura. He agrees. The pibugadim says chamira sakanta meisura. And since we do have some precedent for this, you should be careful. Zulas chema, except for butter or in this case cream b'shumin hanil karagam yachema de'ein b'zes sakanta. That there's nothing to worry about. The Gemara says because it's just we don't know, it's some type of a medical sakana which we're not really familiar with. We're not familiar with. In ancient times, there was somehow had a bad chemical reaction.
Today,
nishtana hatevet.
Don't try
metaphysical sakana. Okay, we don't know what it is. It's something which is not unknown. It's unknown. And the question is, does it extend to milchiks with fish? Okay, last, let's finish up. The next one, now when it comes over here. Yeah, that's mutter, he says. Have you read that? When it comes to cream, that's mutter. Right, all right, very good. Lox, because that's chem. Chem is mutter. The only thing is all milk. Milk is what's also.
Cooking. Eating is
herring and cream soup.
Same thing, I think he says.
Herring is kogush, it's cooking.
Herring, yeah.
But even eating together, some go so far and say eating together.
No, it's not.
It used to be.
Maybe
a little bit brighter.
Okay, let's finish up this last shach. The last shach is v'nagulasos chalav mishkeid. The minig is to make milk from almonds. Das ramokan. You do not need to put shkedim near the milk when you're eating the milk with chicken. Only when it comes to misa derais, for example, only when you're eating cooked food. If you have something that's cooked, then there's a concern. Someone should not suspect that you are kabasa b'cholof. Avol b'midid rabbanon. Going for example, b'sar oif ein lochush from arsayin v'tzoch l'nich etz esla shkedim. You do not need to. So different according to what it says over here in the Ramah, as read in the Ramah, if you go to a dinner and they serve chicken and then they come out with coffee, they want to serve you coffee and they want to serve you milk, they want to serve you coffee whitener in the coffee, they do not need to put on the table the container to indicate that this is coffee whitener and it's not. And it's not milk, because since the meal was chicken, chicken is only made rabbanan, so this does not apply. That's what it says in the Ramah. Ulam hamarshal kosaf diafilu b'midei derabbanan yesh lochush lemaris ayin. Even if a meal is a chicken meal and they're serving coffee with coffee whitener, they have to put on the table the container to indicate that this is mutter, no maris ayin.
I mean, would you know by now that if it's a chicken meal?
Not necessarily. It doesn't matter. They still do it. They actually do this. They actually in
these little packets, because it says on the way.
The small packets. This is the job of the machshir, the mashkiach, the one that gives the hechshir. This is something he's supposed to do. From muskom, and he writes here. The mashal writes from muskom. Mikol apoyskim v'chein nirali ikur te'afilu b'besaroyf ein lahatir le'echol imchol of shkedim elim kein menich etz l'shkedim. You have to give this simen. So here you have an example. This very class when you learn Yoredeya, it's very confusing. You normally get the impression when we learn Mishnah Brura and Or Chaim, the Ramah is the bottom line. The Ramah, when the Ramah goes out of his way to say something that this is the halacha, that's it, it's over. There's nothing to talk about. And then Mishnah Brura, if he's going to tell you, he'll only tell you big chumras. Yeah, well, actually, he'll tell just to give explanations. But you don't think fine things when the Ramah goes out of his way to say something, and then it's mutter. The Ramah says that it's mamish mutter, and along comes the Shach, and the Shach says, no, it's not. Maybe the Ramah says it's mutter, but we are machmir on this. The Ramah says you only need to put the sim when it comes to something which is potential deraisa, some meat, not bird. The Shach says it's muskim, not kol poiskim, even when it comes to chicken. All right, we're out of time. We'll continue another time.